Okay, mic on here. Yes, we'll call the meeting to order. And at this time, we will stand for a moment of silence and then the pledge, and the flag is that direction tonight. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, well, welcome out this evening. We have time for citizens of the district to comment. We had one person who wished to address the board this evening. It's Meredith Dahl. If you would come to the microphone, please, and you have the floor.
Thank you. Good evening, board. I just want to thank you all for your service to the community. I know that you give a lot of time and hours and energy and prayer and thought to your position. So I just want to thank you, and I just want to pray for you all this evening. Dear God, thank you so much for this community, for this board and individuals, and Dr. Hollister and all those who serve this community and our children. God, I just pray for wisdom. I pray for unity for this team. I just pray continue moving forward, that we continue to just love those in this community, love each other, and just support one another. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
We have this evening a personnel report that we will need to take action on. It's attached in your agenda there. So is the time, is there a motion to approve the personnel report?
So moved.
Second.
A second. Any other discussion or comments? No introduction, sometimes we have. Okay. All right. Then hearing none, all in favor of approving the personnel report, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. It is approved. Property and Services Committee, Mr. Ramsey, if you would address that.
Yes, thank you. Jeff, could you put up the map, please, on that first action item? As you know, we purchased property surrounding the Blue Ball Elementary School, and at our meeting last month, we had Jim Hawker come here and present some options, future potential of the site surrounding Blue Ball Elementary School. You'll see on the drawing that the property that we now own is highlighted in the light blue. The property that we would like to sell is down here in the bottom corner in red. It contains a barn, a house along 322, and a shed. So it was deemed that that piece of land was not, we did not need that land for current and or possibly future use if we would have any type of growth, expansion, if we need to develop another building. So at this point, we're proposing to sell off that piece of land. When the requirements, when you sell unused land and or buildings, you have the option of doing a public sale, a private sale, and or sealed bids. We're choosing to sell it as through a private sale. Some board members may remember when we had the old New Holland Elementary School in town, we did the same type of sale for that property. That requires us to we get an appraisal, which we did, negotiate the sale, and then we would need to get court approval after solidifying two individuals to sign off an affidavit that the sale price is reasonable and a price that we would get through via public auction. We would then need to go through the courts after advertising the potential sale. So what you have in front of you for next week is the approval of a resolution to begin the process of selling, actually via private sale. And then once that's done, we would then come back to the board to get approval, and then we would then advertise and go through the court process. So at this time, all it is giving authorizing administration, school board president to begin to try to sell the land. We do need a majority of the board in order to pass the resolution, would be 5 votes. So any questions at all at this time?
Approximately how many acres would that be?
About 5.3 acres.
Are we able to disclose the appraisal?
I would not disclose that at this time.
Okay, that's fine.
Since we're going to go through through the private sale.
By private sale, you mean like listing it with a realtor? Or?
Yeah, we do have that option to list it. That's something that we can decide after or when we approve it. If the board would like to solicit a real estate agent or try to solidify it through local efforts. Any other questions?
Just as a point of information, mostly for you folks, we didn't want the barn or house. We wanted the property that was attached to it. So we think by adding a little acreage, this will make the property attractive for a number of different buyers and increase the value a little bit rather than just selling a house and a barn. So we figured this was the smartest way to sort of pair off a piece. And as Mr. Ramsey said, we consulted with our architects already and looked 10, 15, and 20 years down the road with the thought that if we would ever need to do something with this property, we would still have enough acreage there to do something significant, and we do. So we believe it's very safe to sell this, unload the burden of the house and the barn that we currently have, and also regain some of the outlay that we put into the purchase of the property to begin with. It just makes financial good sense.
Okay, hearing no other questions, I'll turn the next piece over to Dr. Hollister on the locker room plans.
Jeff, you want to bring those up? So to the board, there we go. We have taken the feedback from a whole host of folks and now have the most current drawing here for the locker room renovation. I think we have everything included that we wish to include based on the feedback that we have. This retains the wrestling room. If you recall earlier this year, the wrestling coach and a number of the players were here, our wrestlers were here to lobby to retain their space, which we were able to do. This plan moves the hallway that did come through here back up to here. Jeff, if you could move the picture down so we can look at the top of the building there. The other way, down. So this takes there's a rock climbing wall in here now that is used for a PE unit, but other than that, this space is just a flex space. We'll take this and make this a storage area. We'll relocate the climbing wall or sell it if we can't find a place for it. This retains storage. This also gives us storage. The cheerleading coach made a very good point about the cheerleading squad not having place for storage. We provide some of that in here. We did redo sections of this part of the drawing to get a little bit better flow and to also increase the space for coaches and lockers and offices. So there was a redesign here. If you want to move the drawing up now, Jeff, please. Thank you. Keep going. One of the other concerns expressed by the athletic director and coaches, we just so you know, we did have the athletic director meet with coaches to sort of get all that feedback into one place. There was felt that there was a shortage of actual restrooms, so we did add a number of restrooms, which meant that we lost one or two of the shower and changing stalls.
Please note, and we caught this in our last meeting, these are solid walls. These are not stalls as they're traditionally believed to be, with a door and a jamb that would provide privacy in each one of these units. Things that we have to work around is from an architectural standpoint. The architect, Dave Seward, is here. Dave's over here. Dave, you want to raise your hand? Chris was unable to make it. We've been working with Chris. Chris has a stomach bug, so Dave has also been doing a lot of the drawing and has been a part of our meetings. There are certain things, because we are in a pre-existing space, that we have to work around, some load-bearing columns, some walls, and some rules about corridors and things like that. So, for example, Jeff, if you can move this up again, move the drawing up for me, please. Up, the other way. Thank you. All the way down to there. That's good. One of the things that we're adding, we did take a classroom that is existing presently, and we are going to add just a whole series of single-user restroom facilities for any student to use. You can see common sink areas for the students, but you can also see that these are all privacy stalls with full doors and jams, not like stalls you would traditionally have. For example, one of the questions was, why couldn't we make this door here in the middle? It'd make more sense for security and visual, et cetera. And to do that, it's a fire code issue. We would have to do it a certain way, and it would add expense. So this is an existing doorway in the classroom that we felt was okay. We'll end up putting cameras in here, probably one here and one here, to make sure that we understand what's going on in there, again, because students will have privacy in these restrooms. This will be sort of a test for us, I think, for the model that the board has considered doing for all the restrooms. This particular area here is located in a convenient place in the high school. This is a main hallway that goes all the way down to the gym area that would be over here. It intersects with the main hall that comes all the way down from here. This is basically the classroom you see when you're standing in the lobby of the auditorium, that long hallway. There's a stairwell over here off to the side that would allow students from upstairs to use this facility as well. So in terms of being centrally located for a good test of how the students receive this type of bathroom facility, it's perfect. It really sits in the right spot, because at present, the board is strongly favoring a plan that would have eventually all of our bathrooms turn to this kind of model. So this will give us a good opportunity to see how the students embrace that concept. Jeff, if you could slide all the way over. I don't know if we even have it on this. I don't think we do have it on this in this drawing, but just go over as far as you can. Okay, that's fine. So this is the main floor, the main courts that we have, the three large courts in the high school. All the way over here off the screen, there's an extremely large hallway. Some of you may be familiar with it, where there's windows to the outside. It's a hallway that's about 20 feet, 15 to 20 feet wide. Dave, is that about right? 15, somewhere in that neighborhood. We're actually going to consume part of that hallway for additional storage, so that we can move some of the storage that's already currently existing, where we plan to do this major renovation, out to that area. Part of the benefit of that is we'll actually take one of the doors into the auditorium, and that door will go right into the storage area for PE. PE teachers are thrilled about that. It will not affect the flow of traffic in that outside hallway. Currently, that outside hallway is a heating and cooling nightmare, because there's very little traffic and it's on an outside wall. So I think this is really the main points. Jeff, if you could just scroll back, or scroll the picture down, please. Pull the picture down. Before you do that, sorry. I'm now messing with you. Sorry, guys. go back now. This is just so everyone up here knows. These are current restrooms that we're going to leave there. We probably will leave them the same way. We've got to think about the fact that we've got visitors to this facility, and so we need to keep a little bit of both for our visitors and company. And so these restrooms will stay as they are traditionally set up, and they're in place now. Okay, now, Jeff, can you move up, or move the picture down? Okay, keep going a little bit more. That's right there. That's good. Final piece. This is where the current locker rooms are in this big area here. These are the two larger facilities that the PE classes will use. We have a schedule for all the athletic events. If you keep in mind that we do have host events here. Visiting teams will be using these spaces. So it is, while we do have to keep this corridor for a number of construction reasons, it's probably a good idea that we do have these two areas separated so that we can continue to put teams in one area, visiting teams in another area, et cetera. So that's a summary of the drawing, folks. I'll try to answer your questions, or if Dave has, if Dave can help as well. But I think we're ready to roll this forward. I'd like to see us getting some bids together, getting the permission to get some bids so that we can then get into our timeline that have this starting work sometime in October. Talking informally to construction folks, they're eager for work in the fall and winter. Right now, they're jammed. You can't spare a person, but I think we're going to get some pretty good price quotes for this work because of the time that we're doing it and the fact that we'll have to phase it and we'll have to work around it with PE. The idea that we would finish, hopefully, in sometime in January, February would be our goal so that PE classes are equally disrupted both fall and spring. So we try to provide some fairness for everything. Any questions for me? Yeah, Brian. Yes, yes.
We wouldn't address urinals or stalls in that one?
At this time, no. Again, I think the urinal question is still out there. Keep in mind, we are going to have for the first day of school 11 or 12 single-user facilities across the whole campus for folks. If we decide to eliminate urinals throughout the building, that would be a question we would need to answer. Again, we haven't made a decision. We can talk about that today or anytime in the future. We haven't. This plan does nothing to any other parts of the building. We have decisions we've got to make about the middle school. We have some plans that we want to produce to you regarding the elementary to try and get something in place there as well. But this is just the scope of this work. And also keep in mind, previously we had heating and ventilation on. That we had outlined as a need. For example, the old gym is not currently air conditioned. That was a project we had already presented to the board prior to this issue coming to the forefront, and we're still going to make those changes as well. And I know both the kids and coaches are pretty thrilled about that.
So the question I have then is: so the bathroom facilities you mentioned that we don't want to upgrade. You're talking long term, keep it that way. So the question I would have is then, is the plan to then keep those bathrooms locked during the school day and only use them when we have guests and visitors here?
We absolutely could do that, yeah. That would be, something we talked about at one of our meetings.
Right, because I mean, if we kept them unlocked and available to use, that would go against the policy. So that's why I'm just trying to.
Correct.
So, but we could talk about an addendum as far as saying when they could be open when there's
guests. I think when we revisit that addendum, we're probably going to have to make sure we all understand what is excused from that or what that addendum says. Like, for example, the athletes. Right. We all understand that excuses the athletes, but I think we really need to go through a list, Mr. Buck, and make sure we're covering everything.
Yeah, right.
These are current doors to this large hallway outside the gym. Yeah, they're currently in place.
Yeah.
They usually are left open. Got to keep in mind that we do have events here over the weekends, and we do close and lock some of these places down. Yeah, they're currently there. Jeff, can you move the picture to the right? Keep going. Then move it down, just a little bit down.
Here, so could those areas not be bumped out or not have straight pathway passes through it to each side instead of having to wind your way into each of those team rooms?
Here, you mean here?
A little lower, I'm sorry, the two team rooms
in here.
I think in the architect can weigh on this too. I know I had asked a question of having those more open, and I think as again it's a fire code issue. Is that?
Yeah, corridors need to be rated fire rating, so we have to have doors. I mean, it could be configured differently, but it seems like a good idea to have some privacy in there. You can know people aren't supposed to be changing in there.
Well. Yeah, I don't know about the privacy, but my understanding from your comments were that they had to be because of the fire code. Is that?
What I'm saying the doors could be configured differently to go directly in.
Okay.
But the reason we do the screening thing is so that, you know, in case somebody is in there and they're unaware.
There's not. That's the idea, though. They're not. That's.
So
yeah. The goal would be to remove that privacy, really.
Right.
So, Brian, you're suggesting this be one set wall with one door?
Potentially, yeah, like a door on each side for it, even from the corridor.
Okay.
Okay. Taking an extra.
I'm gonna show you what you might hear you saying. So, what you're saying, you're suggesting, is pivoting that wall out, pivoting this wall down, so you have a straight run there and quite flat.
Something along those lines.
Two separate doors still.
Right, yeah, I would still say two separate.
You okay with that? We can look at that. I'd be reluctant to swing those doors into that corridor, you know, given in the egress corridor, but we can look at that.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Bronho. Anyone else? Any other?
So how many changing stalls or rooms are there?
Total. Dave, do you have that total? Total number of changing rooms / shower.
You know? Project?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Significantly more than we have now in terms of showers. I forget what the number was. 75, 80, I thought we counted. Yeah.
It looked like 20 or 21 per area.
About 80.
I mean, is that enough for everybody to change?
Pardon me?
Is that enough spaces for everybody to change for PE?
Yeah, we believe so. Oh, for PE, for sure. Yeah. 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 And here's the thing. This is a brand new – everyone's going to need to adjust, coaches especially. It's a big change for them. And it's one of those things that after a couple of years, it'll be routine. And the students, learners who knew the old model will have more difficulty than the ones who come up and start it from the beginning. It'll be a bigger adjustment for the adults than the students. I think it's a huge leap forward for our kids. I really do. Any other comments or questions? Here's the plan. We would like to try and get approval for this next week, so we would still have one more week to really go through the drawings like Mr. Naranjo did, and you know, if there's something this that seems insignificant that could give us a couple more square feet, although I hear what you're saying, Dave, we're still gonna need to swing those doors in, so I'm not sure what you might gain, but if you wanna look through those drawings and have questions and get them to me ahead of time so I can talk with our architects, I can report out next week, but if we could take a vote on this next week, that helps our cushion on the backside. So I'm going to step away now. Okay. Thank you very much.
Looks good. Thank you.
Okay. Just to reiterate, when we advertise and you know solicit for bids, we will incorporate the items, the mechanical, the electrical, and plumbing items in the feasibility study that we had. Since we're touching a lot of the HVAC and those things, it just made sense to incorporate those as well. So they will be incorporated in the project. If we get approval of this plan next Monday, we would be able to, talking to Chris and the architects, they're looking at end of August, beginning of September for the first advertisement. We have to advertise once a week for 3 weeks. Their hope is to receive the bids and hopefully start construction basically at the end of October. So any additional questions or comments?
Just one final comment from me. Board, you have several other checkpoints that you'll be able to weigh in, including the bidding time. At the bidding time, you know, if those bids come in way higher than expected, then we'll have an option to do something different then, too. So you have a number of other moments when you can make some choices. So a vote next week to say go forward isn't any final vote, so to speak.
Correct. Okay. Mr. Ramsey.
Okay, moving on. Turn that on. Moving on to action item C, this approval of the resolution for the final general fund budget. The final budget includes a proposed tax increase of 1.5% and also the use of fund balance. And the use of fund balance is earmarked based on the PESER's committed fund balance plan use that we had in our budget. The next item is the approval of the annual tax levy resolution. The 1.5% tax increase takes our millage rate to 12.5711 mils. The next action item along with that is to set the homestead farmstead exclusion amount. This amount is set at $64.67 for next school year. Any questions on the budget and tax levy related items? Okay. The next two action items are pretty typical this time of year. The first one is the authorization of budgetary and fund transfers for the 18-19 school year with the approval of such transfers at the time of the audit. We typically make transfers, whether they be from one fund to another and or within the general fund basically cover negative balances in certain areas. And then the last action item is the approval of the resolution for commitment of the June 30th fund balance. At this time, we do not set those amounts. We just approve what we can have committed funds for. The resolution itself does call for the commitment of the PESERs rate stabilization for increases in the PESERS amount. We currently have about $4 million in that account. Also includes any type of technology initiatives. We currently have just over $1.7 million in that fund, in that account. And we also have an item, line item in that we could commit funds for software or curriculum related purchases. We have not typically committed anything for that. They've just been for the PESERS and the technology. Those amounts will be finalized and incorporated in the audit report, so you'll be able to actually officially commit those at the time we approve the audit report. Okay, if there's no questions or comments, that ends my report.
Okay, anybody have anything else on the property and services? Thank you for that report. We'll move into program. Dr. Larkin.
Good evening. My first agenda item is an action item, and it's approval of affidavits of guardianship. You have that one that we're looking to have approved. Our next three action items are new courses and a new textbook. You got to see those last month. The PS21 for the Garden Spot Middle School is an elective that students will be able to choose from instead of taking music, art, or tech ed. The action item for AP Calculus BC is that really I love math course that a lot of people that a lot of people would want to take, and Mr. Crossgrove, who's going to be teaching that, would be looking at me scowling right now because he loves it, and the kids that are going to take this are going to love it as well. And then finally, we have a new textbook for AP Art History. This class is one that we've had on the record, but it just hasn't run for the last couple years. I believe it is Mr. Epler that is teaching it this year, gone from the art department teaching it to the history department teaching it. And my understanding is he's got quite a few people already signed up for this course. So this is a new textbook for that course. Any questions for those action items?
Just on the PS21, is there an equivalent type of course at the high school level, or has there been already?
At the high school level, we do have a STEM 9 and 10.
Okay.
That is the closest equivalent to this. We haven't had anything this exact with problem solving and things at the middle school. So we've had STEM and makerspace at the elementary for several years, and we've had the STEM 9 and 10 at the high school. And so we're looking to bring a connection there in the middle school.
Right. So that would kind of be a introductory type of course, obviously, at the middle school. And then are we looking to beef up at the high school?
Yes.
Based on that?
Yep. That is our next step. We're also looking at adding, we've been doing coding at the elementary. We're going to be bringing that up into the middle school and high school. We have plans. Those courses will probably be brought to you by the middle of next year for the 2021 school year.
Okay, great.
It raises an interesting point, Mr. Yoder. We are already planning for courses that we know we're going to have to do away with, and they haven't even been introduced yet. So, especially with coding, we're meeting with the teachers. We've met several times with the teachers who are doing the coding, knowing they're going to have like a temporary, a couple of years window where they have to teach a certain piece, but then that's going to be outdated because of what's coming up from the elementary school. So there's going to be a number of courses that continue to evolve. I think especially as we go into our more mass customized learning platform, we'll see courses come and go depending on what has happened at the lower levels. For example, this is essentially an additional technology education class that students will have a chance to take at the middle school, which they didn't have before. We're actually starting to provide choice at the middle school. That's our plan, which is going to then create a series of bumps in curriculum all the way up through, which is, I think, your point.
Right. And I'm just assuming that some of this that they're going to be learning in middle school was the thing that they had you introduce them to at the high school. Now they'll be further along, hopefully.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Great. Yeah. Any other questions?
And then I have two information items. The first is another new course at the middle school, and that is an elective as well. At this point, Mr. Smith is scheduled to teach this course, and we're looking at global social problems for our students and learners to start solving. They get to choose more or less what they want to work on, what problem they identify. The text is The 7 Habits of Highly Successful Teens, which is already a book that is used at the middle school with the counselors. So he will be taking that and growing that and developing that. It's a 9-week course. They start with the why, then they look at the what they need to do. They need to come up and problem solve and come up with a solution. They do presentation. And then the last week, they reflect on what their problem was, what they decided to do, and whether they thought it was successful or not, and what they would change next time.
I have a suggestion. When they complete this, if it would be possible, I'd sort of like to hear them come in and give a presentation on that. I'm curious to see how they think about things versus
how to. More than welcome and open to doing that. In fact, Mr. Smith talked about having people from the community come in and look at the presentations and listen to the presentations and give feedback as well. But having them come here would be a very good experience for them as well. So that's an information item, and that will be on our July agenda for approval. You have a sample, you have the syllabus, you also have a sample lesson and a sample rubric. And then my last action item is just to keep you updated on our pre-K outreach. We've added this year, we've changed, I should say, and added the summer home visits. We have teachers who have been willing to meet with families. They're going to meet in June and July. They're going to do 5 45-minute sessions. They'll have a book that they'll take into the home and do read-alouds. We've also handed out, when we do our registration, a Getting Ready for Kindergarten kit. And so our teachers have developed lessons to use with that kit that we can show parents how to use the kit and make it a good thing to get started with and get them thinking kindergarten. We have looked at the 30 learners that we have that had the greatest need according to the kindergarten screening. And so we've focused on those learners for this option. And so this is new this year. Instead of having them come to us, we're going out to them. Okay. We also are continuing our daytime pre-kindergarten sessions. That's been going on, Greg, is that 2 years, 3 years? 3 years. We have them coming to STEM, music, art, PE, and library at the elementary. It's during the day. We have a limit of 15 families, four-year-olds who are ready to go into kindergarten the next year. We usually have anywhere from 10 to 12 families that sign up, and they've been really successful. The parents and or the caregivers that bring the learners really like it, and the learners love it. They get a book too, and so we're really pushing reading, but they get to play with music and they get to play with art and they get to do science projects in STEM. So it's really a good thing. One of the big things that we're changing this year coming up is the Grow the Seed of Learning. We've been part of that group for at least 5 or 6 years. We've always gone to EFRTA, and our parents have gone there, but this year we're going to bring it to Eastern Lancaster County. It's going to be in our library, New Holland Library, and so we're hoping that having it here will grow our participation as well. And that is for children ages 2 to 4. Our elementary support specialists will lead those. We're going to continue with our Elanco pre-kindergarten nights. There's 4 of those, and we focus those nights as well on early reading and early math skills. Families always walk away from each evening with materials and things that they can do at home as well. And then finally, we will continue to be part of the group for Plant the Seed of Learning. That's the precursor to Grow the Seed of Learning, and that's for birth to 2 years of age. Once again, there's 4 sessions throughout the year, and the families that attend receive materials. We do that in collaboration with several school districts that are very close to us, EFRTA, Cocalico, CV, and those are at WellSpan EFRTA Hospital, and they're also at Women's and Babies. So we're continuing to grow our efforts to reach our families and our learners as early as possible. Any questions?
Just one question. I mean, I think it's phenomenal. I think adding the teacher visits to homes throughout the summer is incredible. Certainly, like the progression there, you know, planting the seed, growing the seed is really neat to see. Any thoughts on having more local sources for that plant the seed? You know, would New Holland Library be open to hosting that as well at some point in the future, or maybe here on site or at one of our elementary schools?
I think they would be open. I didn't do the talking Greg, did you do the talking?
Excellent. Thanks.
How is this information, like, gotten out to parents? Like, how do people know that this, some of the stuff anyway, exists? Like, mm-hmm. especially, like, the birth to two. If you don't have other kids in the district, how would you know about it?
Well, we have posted it on our website. We've also talked to doctors and physicians and dentists in the area that know that we can put out there the information so that they can give it to families. We work with Ephrata Hospital, so they know when there's babies that have been born in Ephrata Hospital that are from this area. So we use those various resources as well. If they have students that are in the district, they get flyers continuously about these events, and we make sure we talk about it at PTOs or have principals make sure that it gets out at back to school night, those kinds of things.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. Thanks.
And if there's no other questions, that ends my report.
Thank you for that report. Anyone else? Before we move into management, I just wanted to mention that prior to the meeting, we did have an executive session regarding the safety review per Act 44. And I mention it now because I think maybe Dr. Hollister will expand a little bit on that. It's a new, kind of a new requirement that we have. So.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Yoder. Yeah, in fact, the school code changed, and we now can have we've always only been able to have executive sessions for a very specific list of reasons. They've added this one. The General Assembly requires school districts to identify an administrator to fulfill a safety role for the school district. Mr. Good, who is the assistant principal at the high school presently, was given those assignments. Is doing a phenomenal job. He reported to the board per school code. We're required to report to the board in executive session by code the various things that we're doing to keep your children safe, both physical barriers as well as software barriers that we're creating or have created, some of the meetings and plans and evaluations that he has done with outside agencies and consultants to review our buildings, et cetera. For obvious reasons, we don't report all that stuff publicly because so much of it is confidential in order to maintain the integrity of the system. So the code does require us to report it to the board, and we did that prior to the meeting. Additional items for management. The first is an action item. It's sort of a routine. It's not a routine. It's an administrative item that we have to sort of do with the association. Per the Janus ruling from last year, actually a year ago, that discussed the dues and fair share, the Janus ruling said that members no longer had to pay fair share fees. And so in a real short agreement that we mutually agree with the association, we need to formalize this because we do have language in our current contract with the association that discusses this particular point. So this is really saying to all that we are no longer doing that part of the contract because it is now illegal to do so. So pretty straightforward. It's a one-page memorandum that we need to get approved next week and then signed. Any questions with that? And then just the other item I have is an information item. For some time now, we've talked about the increasing difficulty in getting both teachers and also our support staff aides as well as substitute teachers. To that end, this is the first year that we were unable to secure enough support staff members and teachers to run our own extended learning opportunities for our special needs learners here in our facilities. For many, many years we've done that. Years ago we even trained some other school districts and some of the things that they were doing at their places. This year we had to lean on the intermediate unit. The intermediate is going to run our programs, a little higher cost but we were unable to staff it. They're going to run our programs in our buildings, so the students, the learners will be familiar with the facilities, but I did want to make sure everyone understood on the board that it's not our program this year, unfortunately. And that's just an information item. And that's all I have for management. And other than to say we had a fantastic Friday night with our graduation, always a great night. Student speeches were incredible, really difficult to try and get to that level. They actually made it difficult for Mr. Sanger and I to try and come up with some speeches. He and I were going back and forth. How come these kids' speeches are so good? It's going to be really embarrassing that we couldn't do anything any better. And they really did, man. The kids were awesome. Not that they're bad any other year, but they were exceptional this year, I thought. So really nice graduation, and we wrapped up another school year, and it was a big win. I've got to remind the board next year, one of the most fun moments, and I don't know if we have it on the website yet or not, but when the buses roll out of here at the secondary campus, we have everybody come out onto the sidewalks, and we wave the kids off, and the bus drivers are all blowing their horns, and it's a lot of fun. We have some drone coverage of that, so I'm not sure. We got our drone up for that. I'm not sure if that's on the website yet or not, but if it's not there, it will be soon. It's just a lot of fun. The drivers make it a lot of fun. The kids are all hanging out the windows and waving, and it's a really nice moment for us. That concludes my report.
Thank you. I also saw and heard about the I guess this is the first year that they did the walk through the elementary schools.
Yeah.
And I know that there were some other school districts that had done that, and when you see something good and you know, see somebody else doing something good, I just think that was awesome, and from what I heard, it was a really good experience.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it really was. We did borrow that one from another school. A couple other schools started that a year or two ago in a county, and we made that happen. Julie Groff got the administrators together and agreed on a time. And what we allowed to happen is we provided bus transportation for our seniors to go in cap and gown to the elementary schools where they went to school, and got to see some of their teachers, and their teachers got to see them. And that was a pretty cool moment. Mr. Johnson took a ton of pictures, and we'll get those up as soon as we can as well. But it was cool. Like at Blue Ball, after they did their rounds with the kids, the learners, Mrs. Tran said, okay, you got 15 minutes. Go see the teacher you want to see. So they scattered all over Blue Ball, and the other schools did the same thing. And there's pictures of our kids in their graduate gowns climbing the rock wall at Blue Ball like they did many, many years ago. So it's just a full circle kind of moment for everybody, and I'm really glad we did it. Thanks for mentioning that.
Thank you. And did we need a executive session after this meeting also, Dr. Hollister?
I'm sorry.
Talking. Do we need an executive session after?
We do. Executive session for a personnel matter. The personnel matter is my evaluation.
Okay.
So
we will announce that.
Yeah. And you're all not invited. So. No offense.
Are there any other announcements? Any other board members? Yes, Mr. Irwin.
In the past, I've been critical of online cyber schools, and that the last meeting I brought that up again, and I just wanted to separate the online cyber schools from the brick and mortar virtual academies as Elanco has. The Elanco virtual academy, which is brick and mortar virtual academy, do just as good a job at teaching students as regular schools. The online cyber schools probably do a worse job than I had talked about in the past, but I just wanted to make sure that what I said was what people heard, so I just am stating that again to make sure that there's a difference between a brick and mortar virtual academy and an online cyber school.
Very good. Yes, I agree with that. So. Okay. Thank you. Any others? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned.